We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We worked for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell.
Welcome to the Fatback Four. It's three of us, it's not four. Ian has much, much more important things to be doing than being here with us on a Sunday evening. It's going to be a little bit random this week. There's no football. International football doesn't count. So it's going to be loads of different topics that we've picked up as we've gone through the week. And any random stuff that comes in, we'll do our best to grab hold of it and answer it and have a bit of a laugh while we're at it. Let's start. Liverpool legends 5, Bayern Munich legends 5 from Anfield yesterday. Plenty of players in the past. Putting on a decent show. It was quite enjoyable to watch, I thought. And a question came up, it was late yesterday even. I can't remember who asked it, so whoever asked it, thanks very much. The question is, out of all those Liverpool legends that played yesterday, which one would you like in our team right now in their prime? Grizz, I'm going to come to you first. Out of all them, who would you have in their prime in today's team?
It's got to be Cavani, isn't it, after that? It's got to be Cavani. I mean, when you're centre-back scoring them like that, it's got to be beyond Torre Cavani. How many did you say? Do we have to pick? If we had to pick one? Or three?
Just one. Just pick a player.
Sorry, I was on the phone, man. Just one player.
Yep.
You know, for me, it's only one. For me, it's always going to be the main man himself. I don't really give a shit about this formation of the team and what we need or what we want. Stevie G.
Centre mid.
I don't care. Over McAllister. Listen, Stevie G is one of those players. You pick him first and then you play him. You think about where you're going to play him afterwards. First, you get Stevie G in that team, in that squad, and then you think, right, what's the best for Liverpool to utilise Stevie G's qualities? I mean, I know a lot of people throw that, you know, Rafa Benitez played him at right wing, was it? Or in the hole, when we had the best midfield in the world. But Rafa was a smart man. He knew he's got an excellent midfield that is good enough for Stevie G to be utilised elsewhere. So it's not Stevie G couldn't play there. He thought, no, we've got Alonso and Mascherano, who are world-class centre-mids. And also we've got a world-class player in Stevie G, where he utilised him right wing, left wing, played him in the hole. So Stevie G walks into that team for me. I don't give a shit about we need a centre-back and we need a striker and we need a replacement winger. Stevie G for me, lads.
Stevie G. Matt, are you going to go against Grizz? Are you going to go against Gerrard?
Of course he is.
Gerrard, you'd actually swap Gerrard for the Coutinho money, wouldn't you? Really? you know, who've we got? So, yeah, it's got to be McAteer, hasn't it? I don't know. Yeah, I'd go with Grizz. Between Gerrard and you can put a case forward for Haman as well. I just think, other than being a bit of a dickhead late now, he was a classy player. In that position, we didn't have anyone. We've got people forward, which Gerrard would cover us for. So I think something a bit more defensive, and Haman would probably balance the team better. But Gerrard would be the option you'd have to go for, really.
Carragher next to VVD would be a good shout. Because VVD, yeah. What do you reckon? Carragher next to a VVD.
He done amazing next to. He done good next to Hoopier and similar size players. So yeah,
and VVD's a superior Hoopier.
Indeed,
so,
yes.
That could work.
I'm surprised none of you went for Rush. Genuinely.
Look, we've got the attack. We don't need anyone up there.
Yeah,
who did you drop out?
I'm trying to think of the squad the way it is and another.
Do you think because we haven't got a number nine?
No, I think we have a number nine. He scores enough goals. He's a 9.5 divided by fucking 3.7 or something. I don't know what he is now. He's the best DM in the league as well. Much like you're the nicest guy on Twitter. But
was Well, was,
yeah, yeah, until he got
false accusations today. but, all right, then, where would you play Rush? What formation would you play?
Well, you see, I'm trying to think of it more of a squad thing than like an actual 11. So, you know, for me, like we'll probably go on to Timo Werner later on. Timo Werner's plays through the centre, plenty of pace, presses teams. That's what Rush done. Rush done that as a player. He pressed, he walked his arse off, he was really fast, he ran channels and he scored fucking 300 and whatever, 60-odd goals or whatever it is for Liverpool. But Rush would be my one. Just for the squad that's in it now and the way it looks like it's going to shape up, I'll go with Rush.
But does he start?
I don't know. It's not my fucking job.
Have we signed Werner, Chris?
No, listen, we'll get on to him. Stop fucking poking the bear. So we're going in there with Gerrard. LFC for Life Net says Gerrard and Kate in centre midfield behind the front three. Or maybe an Alonso in the six. Alonso's a great fucking player. Like, even yesterday.
That's right,
he's lost
Emery in the six.
Yeah, Emery. Emery wants $500,000 a week now. Yesterday, you can see Alonso's lost. Well, he never had the best pace in the world, but he wasn't interested in running yesterday. But my God, when he's on the ball, it's still all there, isn't it? So we're looking at Gerrard, Rush maybe, and who did you go with, Matt? Oh, Haman, you give a show for Haman.
Haman, yeah. I mean, Gerrard and Keita, that's just pure footballing porn. Can you imagine that, guys? Gerrard and Keita, obviously we'd need a DM still. Right, but you know, Gerrard and Keita behind our front three. I mean, that's the stuff of dreams there, right?
Them runs from Gerrard popping up in the boxing space.
I tell you, and Keita finding him every time with his weight of pass that we're gonna sort of enjoy next season. I'm looking forward to that so much, lads.
Yeah, the closer Keita gets, the more excited I get, I have to admit. Look, we leave it at them three for the minute, right? Random question for you, lads. Would you rather, this is from Umara, would you rather shit yourself every day for a year, completely, or not shit at all for a year? What would you go with? Matt.
Shit myself every day?
Every day.
I do that anyway. I just do it in the toilet.
Yeah, I know, but shit in your pants every day for a year, or not shit at all for a year?
I'd gone after the first three times of doing it, I'd pretty much know it was coming. And I'll just sit in the toilet.
Now,
do I have to shit
toilet.
In my pants?
Yeah, that's the question.
I'll shit myself. I do it regularly anyway.
Yeah, it's not different. It's actually a question that's not designed for you.
Trick question for Matt here. Chris, do you know what? For me, it's...
Can you see the confusion on Matt's face?
Like just, I know, he's like, I shit myself every day.
What are you asking me?
it's a normal day for me. No, but this is... We do need context with this question. I know you're going to say Chris is going off on a tangent again, but we do need some context because Matt's right. Shit yourself every day, right? So does that mean you're not in control? Is that what it means? Uncontrollable shits.
Yeah, once a day.
If she's on, can she clarify that? Because she says
uncontrollably shit your pants. Every day.
Uncontrollably shit your pants every day.
Once a day for a year. Or not have a shit at all for a year. It's not fucking bad, lads.
No, it is very hard, man. It's a trick question, this. Because I'm not going to lie to you. I was missing last week, and one of the reasons was I had both. I had... I'm explaining myself. Right? So first I had the runs real bad, right? I don't know what I'd eaten. Probably a kebab from your own shop.
Yeah.
Right? So I had it bad. So I took some Imodium, right? And I took some fucking proper super strong Imodium that made me not shit myself. Didn't let me go poo for the remaining 5-6 days.
Okay.
So I've had a bit of both.
So which one are you fucking picking?
So not being able to shit is not a nice feeling.
Yeah.
It's not a nice feeling, I'll tell you that, Nads. But I think I'd go with the shitting myself every day uncontrollably. Because you just wear a nappy, innit?
Yeah.
Put a nappy.
No, I definitely go with shitting myself every day because constipation is a fucking horrible thing.
It's a horrible thing.
Stephen Kingsbury has given us loads of advice here. You can hydrate yourself with the first option, but you get ill with the second. which is constipation. So
absolutely.
Stephen Kingsbury, the Fatback Four resident doctor, has told us all what's going on there.
Mate, you was constipated when you had your finger bob, innit? They didn't let you out until you had a shit. So that shows how important it is.
That was I the hospital. Fart, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, was it fart? Fart? Okay, essentially.
Yeah. This is stupid. Yeah, another random one for you, lads. Just give me a name. Ryan Worrell wants to know, Jorginho or Ndidi? Which one are you going for? Grace, give me just one name.
In our setup, in our team, Ndidi.
Okay, Matt, who are you going with?
I'm going to have to base this on YouTube YouTube videos, because I haven't seen any of them really. Don't watch too much football. Jorginho.
Yeah, I'm with on Jorginho as well. I think Jorginho is a good player and he's more about him than Ndidi. I think Ndidi defensively is better, but the air player in air team in that position needs to start things, and I don't think Ndidi does it enough. There's another random one gone. Apparently you can die from constipation, so lads, just shit yourselves. It's grand.
Yeah, man, just shit yourself,
it's
Matt.
It's only a year. You can recover.
Carry on, shit yourself, Matt.
Right. Amara started a riot on the Periscope there. But look, I am watching the Periscope. Keep the random questions coming in, because if they keep coming in, I'll just keep throwing them out, because the agenda is fucking all over the shop. There was another question earlier that I have to ask, because I promised the fella I'd ask. The price of butter, Matt, do you think it's fair? Or do you think it's overpriced, underpriced? What do you think on the price of butter? Just a couple of words on it.
Since the Brexit vote, yeah, and the increase on the import taxes on French milk, mm-hmm, I actually think I've never bought butter in my life. I don't know.
Right, so you're not asked with the prices. Okay, Grizz, overpriced or underpriced are just fair?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try making bullshit up. Surprise, surprise. But I've never bought butter.
You eat it by the block, don't you?
I've never bought butter. But I can tell you, in relation to this, something to do with this maybe, there's soon to be a tax on sugar. So all your soft drinks are going up by at least 30%.
So
that's why it's coming to you.
Is that butter in
I'm just, telling you.
Are you saying you buy melted butter drinks?
Sugary melted
butter.
Just loves a knob of butter in his Coke.
I know, yeah.
It's food and drink related. So I don't know sorry, mate, whoever asked that. I don't know the price of butter, but I know, I remember Anchor Butter. You know the Anchor Butter used to be 59p. How much is it now?
I don't know.
Back in my day. That's the last time. The last time I bought it was 59p. So if it's anything more than a pound, it's too much.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. I just pick up the butter. I put it in the trolley and I buy it. Florida Original, for anyone that's going to ask. Grizz, another random one for you. Rather have no arms or no legs.
Is it these all nice?
No, I'm just getting through them while we're here, because it's a bit of crack. Okay. And there's just 1,000 people watching us at the minute, so we have to be happy with
it. It's an easy one. It's no legs, and you can still use your hands to...
Yeah, okay. Grizz, what are you going with?
Yeah, I'd go with no legs as well.
Yeah, me too. No legs. It's a no-brainer. That was from LS.
You could be pushed around, innit, in a wheelchair.
You probably still end up will be, you know, if you keep the column the way you are. At LS72H was that question. Right, we move on. A thing that came up this week was the player of the year. A lot of people have said that. Not a Liverpool player of the year. I mean the whole league player of the year before anyone asked. And a lot has come up about... The voting, is it done in February? Is it done? I don't know if the voting is done. Salah versus De Bruyne seems to be the argument. I personally don't think there's an argument. Not in a fucking million years. Matt, is there an argument for De Bruyne to be player of the year over Salah?
Yeah, of course there is. I always like to favour slightly a player who's playing in the best team. And City are the best
favor?
Team.
Oh, you favour?
Yeah, I do. If you're the best player in the best team... Yeah,
go on.
If you're the best player in the best team, surely you've had the best season. Is that not true? I think Salah. Obviously, Salah's unbelievable, and he's gone. He's gone past everyone's expectations. I think the reason no one was expecting it. That's why there's so much call for it. But De Bruyne has been absolutely brilliant, and he's playing in a City team, which is possibly the best Premiership team we've ever, ever seen. So you've got to remember, this player is absolutely running the show for the best team ever. Mm-hmm. in the Premier League. Now, I say it's easier for him.
I don't think they're the best team ever in the Premier League.
Do you not? Who are you going for?
Invincibles.
I think Arsenal had some cracking teams. Arsenal. I think, as much as I hate to say, I think United had some great teams.
I wouldn't go with the Arsenal team. I know
we are going with favouring a team in the best, or a player in the best team. But for me, I look at it and I think De Bruyne is playing ahead of, he's playing at, you know, an attacking midfield role centrally. Salah, if you set him up on the pitch, is a winger, but forward on the pitch. And I just look at it and think Salah's been involved in 16 more goals than De Bruyne has. Now, don't get me wrong, De Bruyne is a fantastic player, but I just think he has all the best players around him. If you look at the league table, Salah doesn't, and he's still out doing what De Bruyne is doing. From a similar area of the pitch, you know, how far up the pitch he is, although Salah uses that to go in centrally and stuff like that. I think Salah is an absolute shoo-in for the player of the year. And if it switched around and De Bruyne was doing what he was doing at Liverpool, I'd give it to De Bruyne, even if Salah was at Man City doing what De Bruyne was doing. It's not because he plays for Liverpool. If Liverpool were flying and Salah had what De Bruyne has, and City were second, but Salah was doing what, or De Bruyne was doing what Salah is doing, if you get me. Say we're top of the league. We're running away with the league, right? We're running away with the league, and Salah has the goals and assists that De Bruyne has, right? And City are second in the league, and De Bruyne has the goals and assists that Salah has. You give it to De Bruyne, in my opinion. Grizz, what do you make of it?
Yeah, no, I see where you're coming from. But as I said to Matt, I'd probably favour with your opinion of, I'd go with the opinion that Man City, De Bruyne is surrounded by 5-6 world-class players, opposed to Salah, he's got Bobby, who's just become world-class, and he's got Mane, who's probably on the crest of world class. So, and also you've got to take into consideration, in my opinion, Salah's debut season. He's fucking walked into this team. He's just come into this season and he's just taken it like a duck to water. It's like amazing how he's just adjusted to the pace, the tempo. You know, I know he had a whatever season at Chelsea, but ignore that. That was bollocks. He's been playing in a relatively slow league in Serie A, and everyone, the likes of, what's her name, that Mina Rizalki, who said he's another Cuadrado.
Cuadrado.
Yeah, that one. Right, only Matt can do that. So basically, all these journalists that sort of been watching him for a long time in Serie A said that about him, that he may not be able to handle the pace, the strength, the physicality of the Premier League. He's been an absolute revelation. Don't get me wrong, De Bruyne, I agree with Matt when he's saying that De Bruyne is standing out in possibly one of the best teams. I mean, I rate Jose Mourinho's second season at Chelsea team compared to one of the Alex Ferguson teams and the Arsenal teams as they're probably in the top four best teams ever. Well, what are you nodding away
from? I'm laughing at something else. Go on, keep going.
All right. Yeah, top four teams. So I'd go with Salah. I think Salah, but unfortunately, De Bruyne has won it.
Yeah.
No, let's get it straight. I would pick Salah as well. I recognise what he's done is unbelievable, but you can't write De Bruyne off that There's a very, very strong case for him.
Yeah, we've got to take away the bias. De Bruyne is doing amazing things. And
our team is just going to smash every record this season.
I disagree with Gavin in terms of just solely looking at the goals and the assists, because De Bruyne is playing in a slightly deeper role. He does collect the ball. You even see him collecting the ball off the centre-backs at times. And the way he's just gliding around that pitch for City is a thing to behold. Don't get me wrong. You know, he's an absolute... But De Bruyne's, what, third season there or something, isn't it? It's not... He's had a few seasons there, hasn't he, to adjust. Yeah. So he's not... You know, he's had time to settle in and whatnot, and he's got as I said, 5-6 world-class players all around him. So just for that, I think I'd give it to Salah, but yeah.
Okay. Let's touch on a name transfer-wise, because there's a few that come up during the week. Timo Werner is one that I've seen loads of quotes supposedly saying he wants to join United over Liverpool. I don't know how reliable they are, but it seemed to warm up this week and last week, I suppose. And supposedly we're in talks from Grizz. What would you make of him as a signing? And does he come into the team, or does he come in as a squad player, or does he stay central like he has for most of the time at Leipzig, or is he seen as someone that can walk across the front line? What do you reckon? Or do you think there's anything in this at all?
No, there's something in it. There's never no smoke without fire.
How many bids we made?
Nothing of that sort. He's a player we like. Klopp loves him. He definitely wants Liverpool. He definitely wants Klopp. It's the Klopp factor again. But I don't know, man. Where do you play him, Klopp? We know it's fact that Bobby's his number nine. And I know a lot of shouts have been made where people are saying, look, let's just drop Bobby a bit deeper, right? Because he's the best DM in the world as well, isn't he? Right? So let's drop Bobby deeper and bring in an electric number nine, which Werner is. Werner is your... What's the best way of describing Werner? Werner's like your Craig Bellamy deluxe. You know, like he's a Craig Bellamy style. He's very quick. He's not the tallest. Sharp as anything. Almost, you know, another example would be a comparison would be Vardy. He's very much Vardy-like. He would be sensational in our counter-attacking team. Does he walk into our team? No, because as we've discussed, that front three is set in stone, it seems like. Can he play across the front positions? Yes. In my opinion, he's not as effective on the flanks as he is through the middle, but he can and he has played there ably. Just like Craig Bellamy used to be able to play left, right, and through the centre. So, will Leipzig deal with us if the money's right? If the money's right, according to them, it's fucking, you're looking at ridiculous amounts of money. Will we go and pay that kind of money if we're also in the market for a few other big signings? Look, it's going to be hard dealing with them cunts. We know what they were like over Keita. Can we imagine them giving us an easy ride? No. So I'd give that a 6 out of 10 probability time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10 probability. Fantastic young player. He's going to want to play. Wherever he goes next, he's going to want to be a regular starter. I'm not sure if we can offer him that.
I don't think we have to. I think we need to start acting like a big club. Get players like this in and say, listen, if you're good enough, we'll play you. I mean, it is a debate where do you play him, but I don't want to break up this front three because they're unbelievable. So you don't worry about it. You pull him in. If there's an injury, he gets in. He gets a chance to keep his place. If someone has a bit of a drought, he gets in. He gets a chance to keep his place. We need to start acting like a big club and not thinking, oh, how do we keep them all happy? Thinking we need two players for every position, two very, very good players.
I agree with that.
It's something
yeah.
we haven't had for a long time. So I would go and get him and then worry about it afterwards.
So we need to look at this more as a squad game rather than trying to pick or put every single signing into an 11. We need to look at this as a squad game and, you know, I agree with you. I think we do have to start acting like that. I think we have to go and say, look, we get you. You come in, you're in the squad. This is how good we want to be. And if you're as good as you think you are, you'll play and you'll win things and you'll push this club on to the next step, which is obviously silverware. I don't know if it happens. I think trying to take two of their best players off them in one summer might be a little bit difficult. But the talks are from reliable journals that we have held talks with them. Just a quick one's come in there, and apparently... We touched on Jorginho earlier, and me and Matt picked him over Ndidi for our midfield. Somebody said there that there's rumour going around that United have held talks already with Jorginho. So that could be a little bit of a battle.
Who do you want to play for, though? Mourinho or Klopp?
Well, that's if you end up playing for Mourinho, because Mourinho could...
I think he's going,
I think he could literally just throw everything out of the fucking pram at the end of the season, especially with a shortened transfer window and... If he's not getting what he demands.
No, Jorginho is going to be one of those players that's going to be very sought after this summer, isn't it? He's his club have openly kind of near enough said he's for sale.
Yeah.
Right. So once the club says that, then the agent's got a free hand. sort of to try to tout him out to as many clubs as possible. And you can imagine the likes of a Spurs or a United being in for him, especially at the price he's probably going to go for, which is about 40 to 50 million. So, you know, you can imagine him being linked to different clubs every week. But, you know, Jorginho, the only reason I didn't... Look, I think before people start saying, how the fuck did he pick Ndidi over Jorginho? Jorginho is a wonderful technician, a wonderful player.
This is quite...
I'm not saying he's backtracking. No, it's not backtracking. I always give context, all right? So the context is we're looking at possibly a number six, right? Someone to play at the base of that midfield who's going to sort of give protection. I don't think Jorginho is that player. That's why I don't think. Yeah. I mean, if Emre Can stays, then that changes the picture again.
Oh, it's
Sorry.
I've already confirmed it.
Yeah.
So Matt's confirmed it.
Assurances have been made.
But look, that's the only reason I said Ndidi. Ndidi, I think Klopp's got a liking of, well, we know, a younger player that he can mould into his philosophy, into his way of playing. I think Ndidi he would do wonders for. I don't think Ndidi is by far anything close to the finished article. You know, you've got, I think we've had our debates about Ndidi in our WhatsApp group as well. I do think he's not the best technically gifted player, especially in his passing and his sort of control of the game. But what he has got is tremendous engine, physical attributes in terms of pressing, winning duels, which Klopp and the coaching team do look at in terms of stats. I mean, I think his stats are amazing in terms of ball recoveries, etc., etc. And that is what we do look for. So that's why I chose Ndidi. If it was just a straight choice between Ndidi and Jorginho, which is quite a silly question because they're very different type of players.
So who Jorginho
would be? Is he picking this again?
I don't know. He's just done 5 minutes of backtracking, and now he hasn't. He's got to a stage where he's got no answer.
I gave you context.
Okay, so who are you picking?
You're staying with Ndidi.
Shit, Alex.
You're never getting them 5 minutes of your life back.
I just thought I'd give context. As opposed to people saying, oh, he's just fucking written off Jorginho, one of the most technically gifted players around, Ndidi.
This is why I answer the questions when I ask them. This is why I do it.
Context. People want context.
Right, listen. Grace, you said to me before we come on the pod that you fear for Moreno. And you fear for him in the summer, and you think that Sessegnon is the number one, will be our one, number one target, should Moreno leave. What are you basing that on?
Basing it on I heard two people talking in a pub. But the story goes, what I overheard was Mats Moreno is actually on his way out of LFC. Bit of a surprise, bit of a shock. I didn't expect that after the comeback, you could say, renaissance of Moreno. I firmly believe what I've been told, and I've been told that Moreno is on his way out of LFC, and Ryan Sessegnon, the young sensation at Fulham, is the number one target, not as his replacement as such, but yeah, we're looking to target Ryan Sessegnon. Okay. We've held talks with his agent. He's a red. I know you're talking about Jorginho. Who supports Man United? You said Werner. Well, Ryan Sessegnon is a true red. His agent's a true red. We want him. He wants us. It's just that bit of thing about Fulham, innit? Agreeing to all this before it's a done deal.
Yeah, no worries. Matt, Moreno out, Sessegnon in. Do you think it might happen, and would you take it?
No idea if it would happen. Grizz has said it will, so that makes me think it definitely won't. I would take it, yeah. I mean, I like Moreno. Well, I don't love Moreno. I just wanted to see him given a proper chance. The fact that Robertson's come on and he's doing really well, I'm sound of him going if he wants to find first team football somewhere else. Sessegnon is looking like a very good young player. He's still developing. He's coming on leaps and bounds where he is now, but I don't think he's going to end up at a left back position. I think he's going to be pushed further forward. So he might do there for maybe a year, like Trent, but then we will have to get someone who can challenge Robertson as well.
Yeah,
I think the fact that Sessegnon eventually, just like a lot of people think about Trent won't end up playing right back, Sessegnon will definitely not play left back all this season. I think for his club, I can't pronounce his manager's name. Is that Mihailovic or something, isn't it?
Yeah, go with that. You've done well yeah. before.
Ends with M, ends with Pitch. Right, yeah. Anyway. But he's played him in an advanced role as well, and his figures have been sensational. I haven't got him to hand here. But his figures are sensational from the position he's playing. He's match right in terms of... He's another Bale in terms of he started off at left-back and he's going to end up right-wing, left-wing. The kid's sensational. The kid is special. He's a special, special talent. We're looking at a few talented kids, and he's definitely on top of the list in terms of the talented kids we definitely want this summer.
Okay. I'll have to go on what you tell me, because I've never seen him play. Who the fuck watches Fulham? Let's be honest. I definitely don't. Quick question for you, Matt. Nando's or KFC?
Ooh. I'd like to say Nando's, but I've got a KFC about 26 seconds walk away from me, so every Friday night I stumble in there, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go KFC for now.
Convenience is king.
The spicy chips are brilliant as well. You can't beat them anywhere.
Grizz.
But they do give you daily shits. So kind of a link onto Umar's question there as well.
We're covering all the angles. Grizz, KFC or Nando's?
Gav, if you asked me this question 10 years ago, was Nando's about 10 years ago? But let's just assume Nando's was about.
If you'd have asked me this question 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been a question.
No, I'm not going to, because like, you know, this is my field, right? And I'm telling you now, KFC has gone downhill in terms of quality. KFC is shit now. It's proper shit. KFC was the bollocks. KFC was KFC for a reason. That smell of that breading, those chicken fillets, honest to God, there was nothing better than KFC. It's gone really... It's gone
downhill.
No lie, I used to drool over KFC. It was the best. But it's shit now. It's gone pants. Nando's all day long for me now.
KFC for me.
Even though Nando's is overrated as well.
KFC for me. Nando's is just KFC with a knife and fork.
That's a good question there on the Perry. Let's bring it back to 40. Do we give Emre 200 grand a week, or do we get Jack Wilshere?
Well, Jack Wilshere's done, though.
Yeah.
It's done since?
But it's not done yet. It's done this week.
Is it? I thought it was done.
Oh, no, it's done since Feb, wasn't it?
Yeah. Of course it is.
Okay. Let's pretend it isn't for the sake of the question.
Do we give Emre Can 200 grand a week? I think we'd have to
pay Wiltshire anyway, wouldn't we? 140 or something.
Emre Can is a better player than Jack Wilshere. That's my opinion. If you're going to put Emre Can into that team and guarantee him he plays in that deepest line midfield role for the next 5, 6, 7 years, yes, you give him 200 grand. But I don't think he's in that position where he can be guaranteed that. So I wouldn't be paying him 200 grand to be an alternate player in our squad. That's just mine. Grizz, would you be giving him 200 grand a week?
Nah. 200 grand's a lot of money. 200 grand goes to a player that's established every week in your team, sort of your best player, one of the top players in the world. Is Emre that yet? No. Could he become that? Yes. So I'd make him wait for that type of money. I wouldn't pay him that right now.
I don't see why. There's a lot of talk about this release clause and stuff like that. I think there's been too much made of it. I think he wants assurances on how much he'll play. And the answer to that should be play to your potential and you'll play. You can't.
I don't think it is.
I
reckon we'll get him. We'll get him for about 160 plus add-ons. Like a playing bonus, assist bonus.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy with that. But at the end of the day, Jurgen Klopp is not going to walk to anyone and say you're definitely going to play in my team every week. I don't think it's in his character. Grizz,
it's like Werner. Quick, good enough, please.
Exactly. Yeah, and it should be like that with every player. Grizz, quick question for you. So Locked In says, how long were you waiting to make that rant about KFC? It looked like you were waiting years.
Yes, honest to God, I'm so disappointed. I've tried KFC.
I cut him off as well.
I've tried KFC in about 6 different countries.
Have you tried it in Ireland?
No.
Amazing.
He's counting South London and North London. It's 2 different countries there, I'm pretty sure.
But honestly, the beauty of KFC used to be that it was standard taste abroad, abroad and aboard everywhere. It's not the same anymore. It's not. Sorry if there's any... that's our chance of being sponsored by KFC gone out the window, isn't it? But yeah,
I don't think we had a chance in the fourth place.
But KFC's, honest to God, it's gone down in my estimation big time. I don't enjoy it. But just a quick thing about Emre Can. Look,
yeah.
I think I'm just going to give a quick 2-minute rant on the Emre Can situation, because there's a lot of people giving their opinions and whatnot, and I'm going to give my opinion on it. Look, Emre Can's situation is, in my, I think FSG have messed it up by offering him a shit deal in the first place. Because what's happened was, Emre Can, do you know when Henderson was injured and the end of the Europa League run where Emre Can sort of came in and done brilliantly? So it was around that time where this talk started with Emre Can, and we offered him a feeble 60 grand, right? 60 grand in wage, which obviously him and his agent said fuck off to, right? So they've turned around and said fuck off. We should have recognised his importance to the team strong squad. No, he's not on 80. No, he's not on 80. He's on less than that. But they offered him feeble wages. What's happened since then, he's become an integral part of the team, right? He's become an integral part of the squad. And also, he's asked for, in the early days, he's asked for a release clause, right? Which we didn't give. What's happened now is he's continued to be a stalwart in the team. And in my opinion, he's the best midfielder in the team now. You know, he would probably be the biggest loss out of that midfield. And we've realized that now, and it's too late. Now his agent can ask for anything he wants, because we fucked him about in the early days, and now he's asking for ridiculous amounts of money, and he is asking for ridiculous amounts of money. You know, people are saying, it's not about money. It's always about money. We put that money on the table, he'll sign tomorrow. He knows he's crucial to part. Listen, Jurgen Klopp plays him in every single big game, yes or no? Lads, back me on this. Does Jurgen Klopp, every time there's a big game, Henderson is the one, if any, out of the two that gets dropped. Emre Can is his number one central midfielder, right? So he knows he's integral. It's not about his role. He knows he's integral to that team. He knows his Klopp wants him to stay. His agent and him feel that Liverpool FSG fucked him about in the early days, right? They didn't give him the right deal, what he was worth at the time. And now when they've realised, okay, he's not signed. Because do you remember there was a lot of stories and rumours, oh, we signed before the World Cup. Was it the Confederations Cup, Matt? It was like they signed a deal before the Confederations Cup. But he hadn't signed it. Now he's come back, and now he can walk into any team. He can get a £10 million signing on fee tomorrow, which changes the picture now, you see. Who wouldn't say no? Who would say no to a £10 million signing on fee? Do you know what I mean? So now he's muddied the water slightly, but I still think he'll agree a deal at the end of the at the end of the season and stay on.
I don't agree. I think he will leave.
Okay.
But Matt confirms to me that it's done. Just talking about free transfers, Matt... one that popped up during the week, I think I've seen his name mentioned a couple of times, probably over the last couple of years, but is it Max Meyer? I don't know if you know what, Nolan, Matt.
Nothing.
No, I won't pretend to wear it, but Grizz is nodding there like the Churchill fucking dog on the back of a, in the back of a window of a car. Max Meyer, Grizz, now try to keep this a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
You want me to watch a video on him now?
Good free, yeah, go ahead. Good free transfer.
Check Grizz. His heat maps out.
Good free transfer,
yeah.
Grizz.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a free transfer. I got a bit of abuse during the week with regards to Jack Wilshere and saying he'd be a good free transfer. Look, Liverpool are looking at free transfers, a few transfers, and Jack Wilshere was one of the names that we're looking at. Right? It's not going to happen.
He's done. He's done since February.
He's done. Yeah. So Max Meyer's another one that we're looking at. I haven't seen much of him this season.
Where does he
play? I've seen him Schalke.
What position?
Oh, position-wise. Okay. Okay. Position. I mean, the season I saw him, which was two seasons ago, he was like an attacking midfielder,
just
right? But this season,
but this season,
he's been withdrawn and playing in a deep midfield role. So it's his first. It's very similar to Henderson's change of position. So okay. Do you know where we've changed Henderson's position?
Yeah.
To start from like an attacking mid or box-to-box, whatever you call it, mm-hmm. or even a right-sided, to a deeper. Max Meyer's of similar ilk, he's been dropped and had a very good season by all accounts at midfield, a deep lying midfield. Free transfer is a no-brainer. Again, he's one of the ones on the list we're looking at alongside the likes of your Ndidis and Caters. So,
a couple of people here have said they don't rate him. Then again, a couple of people have said... he's class. And then a couple of people said, yeah, I wouldn't mind him on a free. So, no, I was just saying that. I just, I just seen that
as
name
a free, it's a no-brainer.
I just seen that name pop up, so I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, because I'll take him.
Okay, so Matt's watched 45 seconds of him on YouTube and has decided, yeah, he'll take him. What was
Super
it, Matt? What was it that done it for you, Matt?
He's running around after the ball.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, that's always.
He's just pushed someone.
So
yeah.
He has the use of his own legs.
And he scored a worldie.
Oh,
I'm taking
it. Definitely.
He's starting. I want him in the six.
Ahead of Firmino.
Firmino plays the four.
Sorry, just another question came in, and it was earlier on, and it was from @JoeGallagher, and he wanted to know why hasn't Gomez been given a chance beside Virgil van Dijk? I'll go first on this, Joe. I don't think he's been given a chance because I think this season is all about him, you know, getting himself into the team and being a regular in the squad and just settling in, but I think next season, I think you may see that partnership happen, or at least him being one of the third or fourth choice centre-halves. Matt, go ahead.
I think he would have had a chance if Klein wasn't injured. I think we've needed him at right back to rotate with Trent because they've both been in and out a bit of form, so we've had to take Trent out at some points.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason. I think if Klein's there and that's his right back position, I'm not saying he starts the big Premiership games, but the cup games and stuff, he definitely gets tested next to Van Dijk, I would say.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I think he's as physical as Lovren. I think he's arm at it. I think he's as fast as both of them. I don't think he's as good positionally as either of them. I will say that. And he gets caught.
But that comes with experience, though, doesn't it?
It does. And that's what I mean. They're putting him in now this season to get him experience. Where even though it's at right back, he's getting experience in a back four and playing alongside certain players. He does get caught with players behind him the odd time. We've seen that a few times. But as you said, a bit more experience. And probably playing directly next to the likes of Van Dijk rather than one player over, he probably gets that experience a lot quicker and cops onto it a lot quicker. Grizz, can you see him next season being nailed on as a centre-half for Liverpool, whether it's starting or sub? Do you see him being nailed on centre-back? No.
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get more game time with Clavin leaving. Possibly at right back. Look, next season with Klein, we don't know the situation with Klein, whether he's going to be part of the first team setup. You know, if he's not, then I can see Gomez being carried on being played at right back. I just don't think Klopp sees him or trusts him enough at centre back for whatever reason. For whatever reason, I don't know, but I don't think he trusts him at centre back at the moment. Van Dijk will have a new centre-back partner this season and it won't be Gomez. Yes, I agree. In the Cups, he will get a good run at centre-back, I think. Hopefully, we last more in the Cups this time in terms of your League Cup and your FA Cup. We go a bit longer because that's where he'll get his games at centre-back. But in terms of your big games and your League games in Champions League game, I can't see Gomez starting at centre-back for us next season now.
Can you hack it? LFC says he'd love to see Toby Alderweireld at Liverpool. I fully endorse that. And I don't think there should be any other centre-half around that we should be looking at. Grizz has this argument with me about, is it Delitz or Delitz at Ajax? Is that his name?
Yeah, it's good enough.
Yeah, okay. He's 17 or 18.
Delegit.
Yeah, I'm not knocking that chap's ability, but I just think that to take Liverpool to the next step, we don't need any more projects in our team. We need someone to go in there and be, yeah, I am this good, and I'm beside this fella that is that good, and this is how we're going to play. So I'm all over Alderweireld. I think 40 million is the rumoured number. Yeah, give it to him. And if it means giving him 200 grand a week, yeah, give him 3 years of 200 grand a week. I've no issue with that either. Matt, are you disagreeing with me there? Are you disagreeing with Grizz's pronunciation of that player?
Delicate.
Yeah. Alderweireld, give us a little bit on Alderweireld. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely taken. Not only is he an unbelievable centre back, maybe what the second best in the Premier League, it's taking one off our rivals, something we haven't done for a long time.
It's a statement, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But it's not United type of statement where they just go out and throw money at like someone like Sanchez, who's not doing it. Someone like Ibrahimovic. It's not that type of statement. he's a great fucking player that would suit our defence brilliantly. He would improve us and he would weaken a rival, if that's what they can call us. We should go all out there. Wage structure is terrible. So if we go in and throw 120 at him, 130, something like that, he would come across, I think.
Yeah, people are saying...
It's running out this season, is it?
It's running out. He's a year to go, I think, after this season.
After this?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's available... Basically, he's available for 25 million next season. Not the season coming, the following season.
In January.
So 40 million at him in the summer, yeah, and Daniel Levy is the type of businessman that will take that.
It's absolutely true, because the reason why that figure's quoted is because he won't sign. He's not signing. He's not agreeing a new deal. And with Spurs...
They won't break their structure.
Right, they won't break their structure. The thing with Toby Alderweireld is his situation with regards to his... From an FSG point of view, I'm not a spokesman for fucking FSG, but from their point of view... When Matt's there, I don't need to be a spokesman for FSG, but... The thing from FSG's point of view, it would have to be a total change in philosophy for them. Because you've got to remember, Toby's 29 plus, okay? He's fairly injury prone. You know, he has been getting a lot of injury problems. And we'd have to sort of pay, I think, more than that, Matt. We're looking at 140 plus to convince him to come to us. And a 40
What's that?
Million
that's,
signing
that's
on
nothing. Fee. That's less than Milner.
But Milner was a free transfer, blah blah blah, and all that business. You're looking at a 40 million transfer fee, right? Plus those high wages, plus he's on the wrong side of, you know, coming up to your 30s now, right? And injuries, you know, I don't, it would be a big statement. I agree with you guys.
Do you know what
I think? He's the perfect age and player to share with a young centre back. If you were going to go for trying to ease in Gomez or Diglett, then you can get him into to match with them.
I'll tell you what I like in the two. Alex Ferguson made a signing of Robin van Persie, and he paid 20 odd million for him, and he gave him big money, and he got a year out of him. He did get a year out because the year under Moyes, he fell a fucking sunder. Probably a bit Moyes' problem or fault. To me, this looks like a signing that you can get in. Right, 40 million. Money is irrelevant. Forget it. Money is fucking irrelevant. Wages, okay, you have a wage structure. But to me, it's something that you'd say, yeah, you know what? We get him in and he is the fella that's going to be rock solid there. And as Matt says, you can bring in the likes of a Gomez. You can... If you wanted to have a look at this lad off Ajax, maybe for the following season to bring in, and you start that fucking chain again. I just think Alderweireld beside Van Dijk is a dream partnership for Liverpool, an absolute dream partnership. And if it's 40 million and 160 grand a week, I think we shouldn't even be blinking.
It'll bring back sort of the hippie honchos type statement, wouldn't it? Like two centre backs, like I know VVD just signed.
Two good centre backs.
Two good centre-backs just, you know, brought within 6 months of each other or whatever. I know it'll probably be a bit of a year, but for me, look, if we're mentioning Gomez, and if we all agree that Gomez has got a future at LFC, and Gomez's future at LFC is at centre-back, then it would make sense, you're right, Gav, in terms of, you know, Alderweireld to step in right now and Gomez to develop in the next season or two at centre-back. That's what you guys are saying, yeah? I've got this hunch, and I've had it for a while now. I don't know if you remember from last summer as well. Of course you don't. Of course you don't remember what I said. But I've told you guys. Klopp doesn't like. In my opinion, I don't think Klopp likes Gomez at centre back. And I've said this for a while. He done brilliantly in terms of coming back into the team. And as Matt says, down to Klein's injury, mostly that he got a chance at right back with Trent being so young. I just don't think Klopp rates Gomez as much as Liverpool fans do at centre-back especially. So therefore, I think he will go out and buy another younger centre-back in the mould of Legit. Right? So we're going to buy a legit centre-back, type centre-back. I hope my personal dream would be him. He's fucking awesome. He's there, Gav. That's your centre-back for 10 years. I'm telling you that for a
fact. Yeah, but it's another project.
He's a fucking monster. It's not a project, Gav.
No, it is a project, Riz, because an 18-year-old coming from Ajax and the Dutch division and going into a Premier League team and expecting to be you know, the dog's bollocks.
I agree with Gab.
But too much for risk. I think, look,
don't get me wrong. You know, I think if you were to say,
you can't be thrown in into our title winning team.
I think if you were going in and you're saying all the Voile comes in on a whatever deal, I don't really fucking care about the money. Get him in. You play him alongside Van Dijk. You probably get rid of one of Lovren and Matip or Clavin. You bring Gomez in there as backup, and then after a season or two, Gomez comes in as your partner to Van Dijk, and this chap is in as well as a backup, and the conveyor belt continues.
If you're saying
Chris, we can't afford to be going into fucking seasons with 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds and saying, yeah, we're going to win the league. It's a title challenging season
coming up as well.
Yeah. But if you want to do that, Matt, I completely agree with Gav what you're saying. But if you're saying, I'm just trying to give you context with regards to sort of how we've seen FSG develop sort of in their purchases recently and their philosophy, strategy in buying.
Well, that's going to be extreme, isn't it? Buying a 19-year-old centre back.
But Matt, if we want what we want, we'd all agree to sell Clavin, to sell Matip, to sell Lovren, and buy an older world, bring in Gomez and a younger centre-back. So you've got older world and VVD as your starting centre-backs with Gomez and Delegate as your other centre-back. But that's not ideally going to happen, is it? So I'm just giving it realistic context.
Okay. We have about 10 minutes left. Just a couple of things I want to go on, want to touch on. First thing, lfcdt.com. Get onto that for all your trippers merchandise. There's all sorts on there. You go on and the lads will look after you. Post and packaging is amazing. We have great crack about the post and packaging. But seriously, now, there's a lot of people have come back to us and said that the stuff they've got has been brilliant.
Just helps. We laugh, but it helps support us because it is a free part.
And trust me, every penny that we get, for whether it's t-shirt, mugs, hoodies, there's phone covers there. There's more stuff coming. There's more designs in that coming. And every penny that does come back to us helps in keeping this free and equipment more than anything else, to be perfectly honest with you. The second thing is that Sarah at Goober Vision and at Stanley House, they've done their own McVeigh charity thing again. They've knocked her out of the park again for over £4,000 already raised for them. They will have an actual total when the short raffle is, I think that ends on 8th of April. And I think that's still available where you can enter for that. I think it's £5, I think. But if you get on to at Goober Vision or at the Stanley House, they will give you all the details you need. Another amazing cause. And look, we'll
tweet that link out.
Yeah, we've talked about it, we've retweeted about it, and anybody that does anything like that, we're more than happy to help, support, retweet, anything like that. Great cause, great work from them yet again. Now on to wear one. The Fatback for £100 challenge. I don't know, do we look slimmer? We feel we are. We're egging each other on every week. We're encouraging, to be perfectly honest with you, we're encouraging each other. We're trying to keep Grizz on a leash. Ian's flying. Matt is just Matt. And I'm going to war this week. I had a massive legal dispute with my weighing scales on Thursday. He's been fucked off. And a new one is coming on board from this week. But we're all trying our best. I think we're up near £400. Of our £500 target, somewhere around that. As always, go to the pinned tweet on the Day Trippers feed. Go there, click on it, donate wherever you can. As I said, there was 1,000 people on here earlier. If you all gave fucking 50 pence each, that hits our target. But how are we getting on?
£43.
Sorry?
£43 of the £100.
We're £43 down.
Yeah. Okay. And we've got 2 months to go.
Okay.
And as you've noticed, with a big crash back down to earth, it now gets hard. Your first week, you smashed it, didn't you? And now it's just, you didn't shift a thing this week.
I did. And I didn't move at all this week. But to be honest with you, I ate really healthy, but I didn't do any exercise. And I wanted to see what my body would do, because I didn't want to go full at it for 2 weeks and then go, oh, I'm feeling great, and then get really down about it. So, yeah, it's kind of brought me back down. But the exercise videos have been picked and they're going to be done every single day from here on in. They genuinely have. I'm going to war this week. I'm genuinely going to war. I'll try to get some videos on Periscope. I have to cut out the cans. Ian's given out to me for the cans. But we're £43 down of the
here 100. We are. And this week's biggest loser is Ian again.
Ian again.
But
yeah. Ian's,
as Ian's we said from the beginning, he had the most to lose, didn't he, really?
Yeah.
I was second, so Ian lost £4. I was second with 1.5. Gav and Grizz, absolutely pathetic with 0. Well, to be fair, Grizz hasn't given me his this week, so I think he's put weight on, but he's not telling us.
Well, no, I've
come on, what's your excuse?
So just before you go on, Grizz, people need to know, Grizz is known as scales, and he needs to go to a neighbour's, strip naked, stand in the sitting room and take a lend of the scales to get on it.
Maybe
the neighbours were out for Sunday dinner.
Fake story.
Grizz used a couple of tricks the first couple of weeks. I think before he weighed himself the first time, he drank like 6 litres of water to get himself heavier. And then the next week that was gone. And then the week after he took his clothes off. And now he's run out of tricks and he's fucked and he hasn't given me his weight.
Shaving his legs and everything. Look, his hair's gone. He's cut his hair.
I've explained my situation. I wasn't too well last week, as people who regularly listen to the FB4 pod know that I was on last week. I was very, very poorly. So my mum saw that. And everyone knows when a mum sees a poorly son, doesn't matter how old, fat, skinny, wherever he is, when she sees a poorly son, she wants to cook for him. Yeah. So she took over the kitchen this week.
Yeah.
I sent you pictures of the Khan household, right? She's
Is that the one where she was opening the pizza that you got delivered?
Yeah, that was the one, the Domino's.
Yeah, so she's been feeding me all week. So it's been a bit of a leveler. It's been a recovery week. I call this week, the first week was a pace setting week. The second week, I lost a lot. Do you remember?
Yeah. So you haven't won a single week.
It's not about winning. It's about taking part. And the third week, right? And the third week this week is recovery week. Next week, I'm going to
Hold on, your latest excuse is recovery.
This week is recovery.
This is recovery
week. Next week, I'm going to
recover from doing nothing last week.
I've got all my workout videos planned.
I've done nothing last week, and now I'm recovering from it. You're an absolute fucking psychopath. Steve didn't give you his weight, did he, this week?
No,
I'll tell you why, because Steve-O and his three mates were out last night drinking, and he was sending us pictures, and it looked like something from Sex and the City, you know, the girls drinking their cocktails, that's what it looked like. So Steve-O won't be giving it his weight, and then he went home and he reheated the curry.
Shout down to that picture Steve-O sent of his curry. Do you know what, that's the best thing that's happened for my diet, because that picture has put me off food for at least 4 days. Steve-O, thank you very much. You're a top man for sending me that.
Yeah, Steve was.
What was that? I don't know what that was, guys.
Chicken curry and chips.
Fucking, that was disgusting, gross.
Just a thank you for the listeners anyway. £370 we've raised so far.
We're up to 370. Sorry,
we're going for 500. So we're raising money quicker than we're losing weight. So that's good.
Okay, another shout out to a friend of mine, and he's a friend of all ours now. It's Jimmy Maguire, and we're going to keep mentioning him every week. Jimmy came on board last week. Jimmy has decided that he's whatever I lose and whatever he loses in pounds, we're going to combine it, and he's going to give that amount in money to the cause. So the pressure's on me and Jimmy to do it. Jimmy, how did Jimmy do this week?
Where's your mate gone? Yeah, he's down, just not too good.
Okay. He did say he was on the piss for 4 days.
Did he? Yeah, well, yeah. I can tell by this. Yeah.
I think he may have been on it with you, was he?
He lost a pound.
Did he? Great. That's another pound he owes us. The more he loses, the more he owes us, which is fucking great. Lads, that's bang on the hour. Is that an edge you'd like to touch on, Chris? I'll give you this opportunity.
No, I think we've missed. I think a couple of people kept throwing out the Lamar name of Lamar.
I've seen that.
Oh, that's done. Yeah. I confirmed that in January.
Yeah.
Oh, have you? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. But, all right, well, if it's done, it's done. But, look, according to what I think, my opinion is that Lamar
We've
wants
already had
us...
the answer, Chris. We're finished,
Lamar
guys.
Wants...
Go for it, Chris. What do you think?
I think Lamar wants us more than we want him. That's my understanding.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd probably agree with you. The quotes coming out of him now seems to be a lot of disappointment and stuff like that. Again, I wouldn't say no to him. I've probably seen him about 10 times, and that's probably being Champions League stuff, because I don't watch League One. Why would I?
League 1!
Or whatever it's fucking called. Like, I'm not going to pretend I watch all this football. Matt, is there anything else you'd like to discuss before we go?
No, I'm good, thank you.
You're good. You're looking great.
Always.
Yeah, always. Well, not 24 hours ago, that was fucking hilarious. But we won't go into that. We might go into it next week. Listen, that's been the Fat Back Four. As I said, and as Matt said, thanks a million to everyone for supporting us. We are doing our best. We are taking this, as much as we joke, we are taking this seriously. Matt, Grizz, myself, Ian.
Just got some breaking news before we go. Oh, and it's not good news. And it's not good news.
Go on.
It's not good news. Gomez's injury is worse than first feared. So yeah. there could be, there's, you know, I don't want to say too much yet. It's worse than it first thought.
Ah, well.
So bad news.
It doesn't matter.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
But certainly that fella legit. It doesn't matter. It'd be grand. But
just got a text off my mate Chris, who's a friend of the pod, and he's just texted me that right now.
Cut him off,
bad news. Anyway, sorry to end on a low.
We're not ending on a low. We don't. It'd be grand.
Oh yeah, we got Kleiny to step back in.
Yeah, of course we have.
Get in, son.
Yeah, James
Miller
was on Twitter.
Kleiny doesn't play till the end of the season. He doesn't play this season, I don't think.
He plays for us again. I agree with you.
Well, Trent's going to struggle out every game right back. Fingers crossed now for Trent. I ain't got a problem with Trent. It's a lot of pressure for a young kid.
Everybody's saying thanks a million for the show, and we're still fucking talking, because every time we try to leave, we just keep talking.
Bye-bye, ta-da.
No, that's been it. That's been the Fat Back Four. Get on the Trippers website, as I told you. Get on to the Owen McVeigh team at Gerber Vision at the Stanley House. Get on and support them. The Fatback 4 Challenge is our pinned tweet on the Trippers. You'll see that. Thanks for listening. It's been really good. We'll talk to you next week. Will we have a match to talk about next week?
Yeah, of course we will. Otherwise, we'll arrange one ourselves.
Yeah, we'll periscope ourselves playing football. Thanks a million.
Emma Chan is on 70 grand, by the way, Chris.
70 grand. That's outrageous.
So we didn't offer him 60 in the summer.
I hope he did offer him 60 in the summer.
Everyone turned it down.
He's not on 70 grand. He's on 70 grand. He's on 40.
He's not on 40.
He is.
Flip that far upside down and gone.
I'm telling you, he is.
Listen, stop. Talk to us later.
But anyway.
That's been the Fat Back Four.
I'll give you context off it.
Fuck you, context. You don't know. Look up context, will you? In your Collins Dictionary there on your shelf behind you. That's been the Fat Back Four. Thanks for listening. We really are going this time. Over and out.